This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 2nd, episode 1904, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me. Huh?
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. We hope you had a terrific weekend, and we're sorry for everybody that lives in the Northeast getting more snow.
What?
I know. It's crazy. It's April 2nd. It's supposed to stop snowing by now. Well, it was a big weekend here in Florida over the weekend for the jumping world, and I'll tell you what, the ladies of jumping won a lot of money over the weekend. The Margie Angle won the biggest Grand Prix of the season on her 60th birthday Saturday night at the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center down at WEF. She won the $500,000 Rolex Grand Prix, five-star, actually, under Saturday Night Lights. That's the big ending, closing show of the year down here. She's a U.S. Olympian, was six of the 40 starters to jump clear in the opening round, posting the fastest round by 3 seconds. She finished with a double clear round and a lightning quick 39.35 in a jump off. Well, the only one that topped her over the weekend was BZ Madden, 54 years old, and everybody's heard of BZ Madden. Well, she was up here in Ocala for the HITS Million Dollar Grand Prix, which she won. It's the Great American $1 Million Grand Prix. It packs the place. And she won it. This is her second time. She also won a $1 Million Grand Prix in New York in 2015. So
do you
pretty
think that, like,
good weekend.
Margie and BZ, number one, are friends. Are they like mean girls and they don't like each other?
I think they probably get along just fine.
Okay.
They both,
next question.
They probably trade horses.
I was going to say, do you think BZ and Margie are like, okay, girl, listen, I'm going to head up to Ocala. You stay down in Palm Beach and we'll just clean up. Like, if we don't have to compete against each other, it's like rock, paper, scissors to see who goes to the million and who goes to the 500.
That's probably true. You take, you won a million last time. You get 500,000 this time. Or do they flip a coin?
Totally my turn to do it. I don't know. Well, considering BZ's won the last 2 years the million, so I feel like it's like a rock, paper, scissors kind of thing. I don't know.
It might be. And McLean Ward came in second, of course, so he was down there. He stayed down in Wellington. But that's it. That's it for the season down here in Florida. Everybody will start moving north now, providing it stops snowing. Then they'll start moving
Has
north.
BZ or McLean or
Margie,
what's her name, Margie, have they had any of those guys had children to like pass the torch on of the show?
Well, McLean
jumping?
We met his little daughter. She's about Lucas's age, actually, or maybe a little bit younger, maybe 1 year younger. We met her.
Well, why the hell isn't she doing Grand Prix yet?
She is riding. Apparently McLean told us she is riding. She's like two, but she is riding. They put her up, they got her own pony, of course, and she's
all right, I'm going to need some more show jumping prodigy coming out of here, okay?
I don't know the story behind BZ and Margie about how many kids they've had and stuff. I don't know the personal
embryo
story.
Transfer, anybody?
The only thing I hear about Margie and BZ is just winning and winning.
All right. I need somebody to send me a message right now. Do they have children? we know McLean does. Just Beezy or Margie. I need to know more about the personal lives of these ladies and see. Because over the weekend, you guys, you know Barb Crabo.
Yeah,
who was my coach for a long time and still sometimes is. And she has a daughter. And Barb is a 4-star Rolex rider. Well, Barb's 4-star Rolex horse is now being piloted by her daughter.
How old is the daughter?
Ever Ready. I think she's 14 or 13 or 14.
There's a lucky girl, huh?
Right?
She and cleans so up at the Pony Club classes.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, she went to Galway. She's a new Pony Club. Like, she went to Galway and had 3 horses over the weekend. 1 prelim horse, and she took Ever Ready, the former Rolex horse, in the training division. Ever Ready can be quite challenging, so I guess he was kind of naughty for her in dressage. But she had 2 training horses and a prelim horse. Like, that, I mean, and how old do you? Oh my gosh, she's just amazing. So anyway, that's Jordan Crabo. So woo-woo, shout out, Jordan.
There you go. Terrific. Well, let's find out from Jennifer what's coming up on today's show.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, following a thorough yet fast-paced review of the weekend's various equestrian adventures, we're going to chat with Sarah Murphy, the lady who keeps Hannelore Hanover voted Horse of the Year by the Harness Writers Association of America, keeps her going in top form. She's the groom. And then covering the horse world's best sarcastic entries from the past week, like a poultice on a bum knee, it's Wiley's Wacky World of Horse Nation. So stay tuned for the phrase, folks.
Leslie would love to be to hear that she was compared to poultice. Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to, well, it's one of these.
Happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
Well, my happy birthday goes out to Jennifer's stepdad, Parker, turns 86 today, and also Auditor April's birthday is today, so happy birthday to you both. You know, I hope, and he's in pretty good shape, I hope I'm as good shape at 86 as he is, because they were just down here visiting a little bit ago, and he was doing all the driving.
Do you think he's listening right now? Do you think he ever listens?
Yeah, no, they listen. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday.
And then he
was chilly.
So when they came down, he rented a Mustang. So he's 86. And he shows up this bright yellow Mustang.
Convertible, please tell me.
No, it wasn't a convertible.
Because I mean, like, hell yeah, you're 86. Spend it. Spend it.
All right, your turn.
My Daily Winnie goes out to Thunder Snow. That's right. We have not been keeping up, and I'm so sorry that I've not been keeping you guys up to date on the horse racing. Yeah, I've been a little bit busy. I still have that Flag Is Up Farms hangover. We're just like, I'm really tired. Like, we're really tired. I think I went to bed at 7:30 Saturday night. Woo-hoo! Anyway, so I haven't been keeping you guys up to date on what's going on in the racing world. And they had the Dubai World Cup over the weekend. The winner was not the winner that they thought it was going to be. It's a little bit of a. Do you have the audio, Glenn?
I do.
Okay,
and this is
let's
what
hear.
A $10 million, $12 million,
$1,500 million? $10 million okay. Race.
They're all set. Gates are back. They're racing, and North America missed the start. North America
that's
missed the start, so that turns the race on its head, and West Coast broke away beautifully with Mukta Hedge. Thunder Snow is coming across. Furia Crusada, Pavel just off them. Talismanic. They were followed by Gunavira over on the inside of Wadi. Next of all is North America, and back towards the tail is Forever Unbridled, along with Gunavira. So they leave the straight, and Thunder Snow is going to come across and take the lead. Sitting second in the breeze is West Coast. Pavel trapped out a shade wide from Mukta Hedge. Between them is Talismanic. They were followed by Furia Crusada. Then North America, the outside, as they really slow up into the back. Wardy is next of all. Going up on the outside is Forever Unbridled. And four lengths away to Gunavira. 25.73, so not quick the first sectional. Down the back they go, and Christophe Simeon dictates the race with Thunder Snow. Up on the outside, West Coast to its bridle. Mukta Hitch, Pavel going around the outer, followed by Talismanic Furia Crusader over on the leader's back. North America was next from Forever Unbridled. They're very compact here. A War D was next of all, and a Gabuetta Gunavira. Down the side they come in the Dubai World Cup of 2018, and Thunder Snow, the Derby winner from last year, shows the way. Wearing it like a glove is West Coast up on the outside. Pavel being ridden along. Mubda Hitch has enjoyed a lovely run, but comes off the bit. Furia Crusader, Talismanic around the outside. Forever Unbridled begins to run on. A gap to a Wardy. Into the straight they come, and Thunder Snow went for home. Sumion gave it some leather. Inside the final 300, Thunder Snow's out by three, four lengths over West Coast. Down the outside, Forever Unbridled, Mukta Hitch, then Pavelis, Thunder Snow, well clear in the Dubai World Cup. Thunder Snow, the Derby winner, is racing away, trying to get there. Is West Coast battling away, but a brilliant performance. Thunder Snow, a massive upset in the Dubai World Cup. Thunder Snow wins it by five.
Way out ahead.
Thunder Snow actually won it by 5 3/4 and finished in a track record time of 201.38. So it was unbelievable. North America was supposed to come out and be the pace setter, and North America had a very bad break. So it was really, they actually, Baffert said afterwards, he's like, you know, his horse was West Coast. I think Mubtahij. I think even maybe Pavel was one of his horses. He said, my horses ran well, but that's Thunder Snow. He ran huge, that horse. And the jockey of West Coast, who kept trying to come up, Javier Castellano was his jockey, said, I wish you won the race. Sometimes you have to hook up with the best horses in the world, and that's why the race was so tough today. The other horse was coming up. My horse didn't get tired. He fought for second place. But he also said, he ran good. That other one, the other one was too good. So it was a bit of a shocker to see.
And Thunder Snow was the one that bucked in the start of the Kentucky Derby in 2017 and never finished the race. So that just goes to show you, don't give up, huh?
Don't give up, baby. $10 million. There you go. Godolphin Blue, taking home.
What also goes to show you, these horses mature at different levels. And this horse probably just wasn't ready at the age of three. You know?
Do you know why I've not been covering racing quite as much as I used to?
Because of that?
It's just because it is so frustrating to me how long the races are when in the spring of their two-year-old year to get them the points now, because the points is what it's all about for getting horses to qualify for the Kentucky Derby. And people are pushing these babies so quickly now that it's frustrating to me. And that's why I don't even like covering the two-year-old stuff, because to get them to the breeders, by the time they've gotten and qualified for the Breeders' Cup in the fall, which is their like maybe 2.5, they've already run 5, 6 races, even 10, you know, at times. And that's what frustrates me the most about the way that the points system has changed in the race world, is that I just saw 2-year-olds run in a 1.25-mile race in the spring. Why the hell are they running that far? It's just so they can qualify for all and get all these points to go to the Derby. And anyway, this is a big giant can of worms that I'm opening right now, but I'm going to close it because
I think we
that's
both
why
agree that if they bumped the Kentucky Derby to 4-year-olds, we would all be happier. You know, it's interesting. We're going to have Sarah Murphy on a little bit later, and we want to get to Jennifer here because everybody's been asking how she did in her first endurance ride.
Yeah, I'm dying to know. But
we're going to get to Sarah Murphy later, who's the groom of Hannelore Hanover, who's the female trotter of the Horse of the Year last year at the age of 6. And I'm going to be interested to ask her that question, too. I'll definitely ask her that. You know, what's the story as far as ages are concerned in trotters? Because it does seem like they go longer, number one, in the harness world. Yeah. And it seems like you see a lot more of the big winners being in the 6 to 8 range. Yeah. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to ask that question of her, who, you know, obviously she should know the answer. Well, Jennifer did ride over the weekend. She did her first endurance ride. She did 10 miles, which is like baby novice. So, Jennifer, how did it go?
It's the children's short stirrup of endurance.
That's the lead line.
And I'm sorry, 10 miles does not sound like a short stirrup run to me. So cheers, congrats, I guess. I don't know what happened. So you load up this ginormous 19-hand thoroughbred into a trailer that you had to special buy because he's still ginormous, and then you go and you're riding against 14-hand Arabs.
Yes. All weekend long, everybody kept going, what kind of horse is he?
What? Only at an Arab show would they not know what a thoroughbred looks like.
And he was much bigger, wasn't he, than the rest of them?
Yeah, well, everybody said, well, that's what I thought when I told them, but I would put $100 down that I was the only thoroughbred there.
So talk to me. You get him there. How did he load to get there, number one? Because you just got a new trailer.
He wasn't at his best loading up, but I have to take credit for that mess up because I discovered, because I'm stupid. Normally when I load him up in his spiffy new specially purchased horse trailer, it has a front ramp so that you walk in the back and walk out the front. I did not open the front ramp. So he got in and he saw that the ramp was closed and promptly left. So we had to dink around with that. But then when I brought him home, I opened the front ramp and he walked like on like a champ. My fault. I'm sorry, Nigel. But
okay,
he loaded up. Go ahead.
And then when you get there and you unload, this is the part that's really telling to me about when you're training a horse or taking a horse places is how do they unload off the trailer? Do they unload like they're a kite on a string or do they unload like... No problem.
With the front unloading ramp, he tends to walk off happy, and he walked off happy as a clam, put his ears up, and pulled my arm out of joint in an effort to get some grass.
Okay, so he was chilled. He was chilled. Okay,
he was,
cool.
He was as chill as Nigel gets. Yes, I was pleased with that.
And so you got there on a Friday, yeah, and the horse, the race was until Saturday. So what did you do with your Friday?
Friday, I walked back and forth and put on approximately 100 miles on my sneakers because I had to drag all of my stuff into the barn a piece at a time because I did not bring a wheeled vehicle with me to do it. Check that off. Add that to the list of things to pack for overnight trips. So I spent a lot of time doing that. I spent a lot of time wandering aimlessly and asking people where things were. Only took me a half an hour to find the manager's office. Yay me. So that was pretty good. It was a McCully Farms, which is an extremely popular camping and trail riding venue, about 50 feet from the Georgia border. It's a campground, but it's what you would call a freestyle campground because you pretty much just park wherever you want. And there were rigs every freaking where, everywhere, just every direction, everywhere. And I wandered towards one of the backfields where people park. And now I know I learned two things. First, I learned where Craigslist horse trailers go to or come from. Not sure which. And I also found out who buys some of those ginormous living quarters horse trailers that have living quarters for 10 and horse trailer for 2. Both ends of the spectrum there.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool.
Ask her where she slept, Jamie.
Yeah, Glenn was saying something about you slept in a hammock inside your dressing room in your trailer.
I slept in a hammock in my horse trailer. Lots of us slept in our horse trailers.
Not in the dressing room, in the horse trailer.
Now, in the horse trailer, the dressing room's really not big enough. It's more of a tack room, not a dressing room. Not,
oh,
if
you
I have
slept
tack in, there,
in
no
the
room for humans.
Poopy area.
That's
not the dressing room.
Right.
I cleaned it out. I was suspended over the leftover shavings is what I did. Yeah.
Okay, how'd that go?
I was convinced she was going to fall out and break something before the race even started right out of her hammock. That's what I was convinced of.
I did not fall out of the hammock. I did not. And it was lovely because I have to attach it in the front to the chest bar and in the back to the butt bar in the opposite corner. So it's long enough because it's really a 2-person hammock. And I thought, wow, this is really cool because you can just push against the side of the trailer and you can rock yourself to sleep, which is really cool. And I couldn't sleep. So I just kept rocking it and rocking it and rocking it and rocking it. And then I had to get up and go pee and I was dizzy from rocking my hammock.
Well, the good news is if you have to get up and go pee, you just stand up and pee.
Right there in the trailer.
Right there.
Right there.
Genius.
Only a horse girl would think of that. They even think of that. Yeah.
Of course. Hello. So, but I did ride him on Friday night or Friday evening because I didn't think it would be smart to give him the whole day off before I did this with him. So took him out and we just did a little hack around, little walk. Okay, we're going to do some circles. We'll do some trots. We'll do some big trots, little hot trots, get him loosened up. And that resulted in bucking. That resulted in lots of bucking. So we reformed a new program and we're going to walk. So I walked for about 2 hours. Until he took a chill pill and relaxed a little bit. But it was kind of cool. This is something I've never experienced before at other horse shows. I've been to all kinds of different horse shows and fox hunts, different kinds of competitions. I got there on Friday, which the competition started Friday. They had races on Friday. So 95% of the horses that were there had raced that day. And I was riding around in the free-for-all camping field, which was, there was probably 60 or 70 rigs there, all of which the horses were either tied to those high tie things on the sides of the trailers or they're in little portable pens. And all the horses were just standing around, sleeping, eating hay, chatting about the day. They probably, if they were people, they would have had little whiskey on the rocks. It was so chill and so zen that it was weird because it's a competition. Everybody's supposed to be kind of wired up, but they weren't. It was weird.
Well, they just ran damn 50 miles. You'd be tired, kicking back too. Okay, so you wake up the next morning and it's race time. Yep. This is my question. How do you know where you're supposed to race? Like, is it a marked off area? Do you have a map? What is it, GPS? How does that work?
I see. There we go. I had a million and one questions. Thank you, Leah Greenleaf, organizer, for putting up with all of mine. The trail is marked. They use surveyor's tape. So you've not seen the trail before unless you've been to that venue before or you rode the day before, but you don't get to see the trail before you compete on it. And it's not really a start box. It's sort of a start area. And you just go out and the little timer lady clicks her watch and writes down when you head out. You can go out by yourself. You can grab a friend. It's kind of a free for all that way. And off you go and you just follow the flags around. At various points along the trail, they have giant public water troughs that they have put out so the horses can have sips of water. And you do your thing and you try to time it so that you go as fast as you can. But at the end, when you come back, they mark down the time that you come back through the finish. But you have to, your time doesn't stop until your horse's pulse and respiration fall into certain parameters. It goes down so the horse's normal again. And they, each division has different levels that they have to get to. So if you come back and you hurried at the end of the race, last half mile, you trotted really fast. You come through the finish flags faster, but it might take you longer for your horse to recoup. Cause when your horse recoups, that's your finish time, not
right.
The time
Understood.
You come through the finish flag. So, we did that. And of course, I go through the finish flags. I'm clueless. And the gal that's riding with me, playing the part of training wheels, Claire, said, okay, now when we get to the finish, you have to scream out your name to Carol, the timer. So we get to the finish. I don't even know what Carol looks like. She knows who Carol is. So she screams out our numbers and says, now you have to be quick and efficient. You have to get off your horse. You have to get him out there. You have to get him cooled off. And you have to get right back. I'm like, okay. So I go back to the barn. I'm rubbing Nigel off and cleaning his feet and fussing around. And Claire comes hustling in. You have to hurry and get back. You need to be efficient. Okay.
Haven't you ever been in the 10-minute box, Jennifer? Good God. Come on. Let's go. Move it.
Like, okay. Hurry up.
Posen's great.
So
Posen's great.
She hustled me back. Yeah, she hustled me back to the finish, to the vets. And we got our finish done. And in 15 minutes, Nigel was literally back to normal before the ride ever started. And he got all A's. They give you a little card. They give you a little grade. And he got all A's. And I was very proud of him and gave him a pat and a mint. So that was really cool. Now, during the ride was the fun part. Because as regular listeners know, Nigel gets a little bit amped up when he's away from home versus at home when he was a slug. So for the entire 10 miles, We jigged, we jumped, we leaped, we flipped leads. We did this crazy gait where legs went everywhere. We yanked, we pulled, all of those things until the last mile. Because we would move along at a pace, and then we would take a little walk break, and then we'd move along at a pace and take a little walk break, because we didn't want to. Neither of us wanted to go fast. Claire wanted to take it easy on her horse because she was a little bit tight in her back, and I thought it would be a good idea for Nigel to not run the whole way. The last time that we took a little walk rate, because we'd walk for about 60 to 90 seconds at a time, was the first time in the 10 miles that the minute I picked up the reins from the buckle, he didn't take off at a gallop. I picked up the reins and I said trot, and we actually trotted. That was so exciting.
I just told her she didn't go long enough. She needed to go 25 miles.
Well,
he was just starting to settle in after 10. Unfortunately, I don't think Jennifer could have gone 25 miles.
He finally settled again. 10 miles is his settle level. Now I know. I've got it figured out.
Well, and it's really hard on your legs when your horse is jigging and jugging for 10 miles. It's hard on your whole body.
I can't believe he did that for 10 miles. I mean, for 9 miles. Like, that's a long way to be tight and wound up.
Boy, he does.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess do it twice.
There you go. Goes Friday and Saturday. Maybe by Saturday you will be better.
Well, you know, and I could have done that, and I originally was going to sign up to do that. But having been gone for a week before this thing at Road to the Horse, I figured maybe one was smarter than two.
So you do 10. How long does it take you to do 10 miles?
We were out for, it was 8:30 to 9, 9 to 10.
About 2 hours.
An hour and 40 minutes it took us.
That's not bad.
No.
Did you have like that butt glide stuff, that like purple squeeze, the butt glide stuff? How endurance prepared were you is what I want to know.
I didn't see any monkey butt powder around.
I stuck out like a freaking sore thumb. I was wearing riding boots. I had a cavesson on my leather bridle. I had two sets of reins. I screamed, newbie.
Okay. But did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy it enough to want to buy things?
Everybody was asking about your fancy saddle, though. They were asking about that.
Yeah, people did ask me about my saddle because you don't see English or Western saddles at these for the most part. It's mostly endurance saddles, and some people will use a forward seat saddle or dressage saddle. I did have several people ask me about my saddle, my new Wintec Light that I love, and it performed admirably. I had people ask about that. Had lots of people asking about, Nigel, what kind of horse are you? Or, Nigel, those are strange shoes.
Well,
and look at those giant feet.
Mary Schmidt, one of our auditors, just sent me a message, Jennifer, and said, did Jen use the glue on shoes?
Yes, I did. I had lots of people ask. Everywhere I go, people ask about the shoes. Because you can see them on the outside. The cuffs come up, and it's black, so it's very obvious he's wearing something different. So I had a lot of people asking about that. But easily 80% of the horses there are barefoot. Because the footing up there is lovely. It's soft, it's smooth sand, it's packed, most horses don't need shoes there. But I did have a lot of people ask about that. And that's something interesting about endurance, in that it is unique in that the rider's skill set is not judged. In other words, whether or not you have your heels down, whether or not you slouch when you ride, whether or not you keep your thumbs up, the rider's equitation is irrelevant, except how it affects the horse's soundness. But the horse's soundness and health are judged very, very critically. So it's a very interesting dichotomy for me, who comes from a background where you do hunters, the rider's equitation is critical, or you're doing eventing where it's a little bit of each. This is very unique in that you never had the feeling that there was somebody standing there at the rail judging you. So that was I liked that part of it.
It's just every other rider's judging you.
Exactly.
Every other woman is silently judging you.
It's hard. You know
but
what?
I
forgot how hard it was for somebody to go. Like, Jennifer's done, as she said, a million different kinds of horse shows. But every time you go do something new, it's hard. You know, it's hard. It's because you don't know what's going on. And it's like, you know,
I didn't understand half the words.
Yeah, she said they kept using acronyms for everything. And how many endurance episodes have we done? We're going to have to get Karen to do an endurance episode where she just takes people through from start to finish exactly what you do.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what
I
you
had
need.
No idea. All weekend long, people are going, Jen, come here, you need to do this. Come here. I had no idea.
So let me ask you something. Again, you just didn't answer my question. Did you like it enough to buy stuff?
Like, yes, because I want to buy stuff to make staying overnight easier.
It's okay. For her, not the horse.
Okay. She's like, he's fine in the dressage saddle.
Yeah.
As long as I have. So you going to do it again?
Yes, I would. I would definitely want to do it again. Absolutely.
Okay. So how many people were competing in the 10 miler division? Do you know? Of course you know.
And what was the average age, Jennifer?
Glenn, my turn.
If I...
How many people were competing in the 10?
How many people? There were 6 entrants in the 10-mile division.
Okay. What place did you come in?
I got a blue ribbon.
That does not make me realize anything.
I'm telling you, I was in that class. Everybody in the division gets a blue ribbon.
Got a participation 10 ribbon.
Miles! It really was lead line. And actually, one of the competitors was very young. She was maybe 4 feet tall, tiny little girl. And I don't know her age or skill set, but she really literally was on a lead line in that her mentor, which I think was her mom, was leading her on a lead rope.
Ponying her or running with her?
Ponying her. Ponying
her. Oh, thank God.
That's the 10 miler in the endurance world.
I was going to be real impressed with mom if she
right? Way to go, mom. So answer my question again. What place did you come in? Because let me back up and tell you why I'm asking. Because me, I've been the a-hole that's been doing crazy things for the 7-8 years of this show, and I'm the one who always comes in last, like dead last. And Glenn always makes fun of me. But you know what? I got out there and I did
it. I never make fun of you.
I know. But whenever I say I came in 6th place, you go, out of how many? Out of how many? And I'm like, of course, it was 6, but you don't need to ask that question. So I'm asking, it's my turn. It's my turn for somebody else to be that girl. What place did you come in? Out of 6.
They don't time it.
Oh my God.
I know how long it took me because they tell me how. So they didn't, when they post the results, because again, you go out whenever you're ready. You don't go out as a group. When they post the results, they will not put times for my division. It just says completed for the putt-putt division.
She got A's on her little sheet. She got A's.
Yeah.
Do you want me to play this just because? Okay, hold on. I'll play it just for Jamie. She's dying. You're welcome.
I don't want to be that girl.
Well, Jennifer has to give our guest a call. So,
Jennifer, I look forward to more of these, and I hope that they have a section on horselovers.com on how to, I don't know, the endurance section, I guess. And so you could do some shopping. Congratulations. I'm super happy that you went and did it. Good for you, girl. That is leaving your comfort zone and your horse's comfort zone. So, way to go getting out there and doing it.
Now, 25 miles next time, Jennifer. None of this 10 stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No more of this 10 stuff. That's nonsense.
You're too old for baby novice because the average age, she said, of the other competitors was about 10. So, thanks. Yeah. All right. Go call the guest. Thank you, Jennifer. All right. Let's hear from Omega Alpha Equine.
I'm connected to the shoulder bone. Shoulder bone connected to the leg bone. Leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science, to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And I will have you know that before last week, as Jennifer was in the preparation for this, she might have bought some Omega Alpha Chill. Well, actually, we spent about $100 worth of Omega Alpha products last week.
Yeah, well, we were at it was worth it.
Yeah, apparently she needed more of it, I think is what the case was. I would have given her the blue ribbon for not falling out of the hammock and breaking something overnight, because I'm not sure I could have done that.
I'm right here.
That's not that big a deal. You're so busted.
All right, let's get to our guest. We're very excited to have on Sarah Murphy, who is the groom for Hannelore Hanover, who last year at the age of 5 produced the fastest mile in history by a female trotter and defeated male rivals in both the Breeders' Crown and the Maple Leaf Trot, and received 3 Dan Patch Awards, including Horse of the Year. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Are you with Hannelore right now? Can she say hi?
No.
No, okay.
No, you don't. No, she's more of a banger. she's not really a talker. She's more of a banger.
Got it. Got it. Well, congratulations. First of all, how long have you been with her?
About a year and a half, almost 2 years now.
Yeah. Did you know she was extra special when you first met her and became her groom?
No, I just kind of liked her.
Yeah?
I just sort of liked her. She's kind of an awkward, like she's a big, thick mare, and she's black and got big ears, and I kind of like those ones.
And I'm, you know, from the pictures and the videos I've watched, you're right. She's kind of big and gangly, almost a little bit. For 6 years old, I pictured her being younger when you look at her pictures and her videos.
Well, she was younger in some of them.
Yeah, but that's true.
Age just creeps up on you, and you know, it's one of those things where you look back and you're like, "What happened?"
Well, that is a good point, because with trotters, they tend to work longer. They tend to race longer than the thoroughbreds do. And do they start at the same? Do they start at 2 years old, or do they start a little later?
We start racing at 2.
Do you?
Okay. When they go to the yearling sales, when they're 1, a lot of them are brought right in the barn, and you proceed to break them right away with all the equipment and everything like that. And then the rest is up to them. Some of them need more time. Some of them just go right on with it. She was one that she needed a little more time. She didn't really race hard it's not that she didn't race hard. She just didn't race much.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Now, Sarah,
she was younger, and then 3, she raced, and then 4, you know, they checked to see if she could step it up a little bit, and she did.
So, Sarah, if somebody is not familiar with your mare, can you give, like, everybody a little Reader's Digest version of who she is and how special she is?
She is an Indiana-bred mare. She's a Swan for All. She spent her early career just in Indiana when she was 2 and 3. And then at 4, she was nominated to a couple extra, to the mare's races, and then to a few races with some boys. And she might have done a little better than them.
And then we've got her at age 5. Producing.
And then she turned 5, and she trotted the fastest mile in history by a mare at the Red Mile last summer in Lexington, and she beat the boys in Canada last summer in the Maple Leaf Trot, and she beat the boys on her at her home track in Indiana there in the Breeders' Crown.
Unbelievable. So when you've got a horse that's that fast, and you're the groom, you're in charge of her, all of her day-to-day things. When she wins a big race like that, does the owner just like be a little bit of a tip every now and then, give you something extra.
We have a nice bartering system because his family happens to have the establishment that does my hair. So, so I mean, like, are they walking up with a big check? No, but I am taken care of.
Get your hair did, girl. Good, yes.
I love you, Sarah. It's priorities.
I mean, you know, I work in a barn all day. When you go get your hair done and stuff like that, it kind of makes you feel a little better about life and things.
True. True.
Well, you know, we had this discussion this morning, you know, here on the show. We cover thoroughbred racing quite a bit over the last 8 years we've been doing this show, but it's not our main focus. We cover everything in the horse world. How do you feel personally about starting them at 1 or 2 years old? Do you feel they should wait longer, or do you think it's good, or, you know, how do you feel personally about that?
Personally?
Yeah.
I like breaking them when they are 2 years old.
Okay.
Because, I mean, like, it's up to the horse. Like, some horses, they have the early speed, and they can do it. I think it all depends on people's relationships with their trainers. Like, if you have a nice one that needs more time, you got to wait it out. It's all different. Figures, you know, some horses are amazing and they just have incredible early speed that they can't carry, you know,
right,
through older ages, you know.
Why do we see the harness horse, or, you know, harness horses going a little bit longer? We tend to see them running to older ages than we do the thoroughbreds too.
I think it's just different, really, because I've never really worked with the thoroughbreds that much. I mean, I've been to thoroughbred races. I enjoy going there, but I'm really not sure why. Standardbreds are hardy horses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like their bones hold up. There's, you know, a lot of the soft tissue holds up a little better, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I seen standardbreds over the years, I do, and they tend to be just, I don't know, a little bit bigger bone. They tend to have more structure, I think.
Yeah, thoroughbreds are quite, like, their legs, when you get down to the legs of them, a lot of them are very dainty. Like,
right,
their bodies, like, they can hold weight, and I've seen some incredible bodied horses over at Monmouth, like, where you're like, oh my God, that horse is gorgeous. But, you know, for the most part, I think standardbreds are just hardier.
Now, the other thing,
I don't know if it's because of the gates that they go on, like, whereas thoroughbreds are, you know, just straight up gallop, and we're more trotters and pacers.
Yeah, well, that's true too. So now I do see, when I looked at the pictures and some of the videos of your mare, she tended to not have as many boots and things on as a lot of them do. She was wearing back wraps in the back, but, you know, a lot of times you'll see them all wrapped up. And is there a reason she just doesn't need them, or?
She doesn't really need them.
Yeah.
When she was racing in the bell boots and the brace bandages, that's our standard baby equipment, and it's kind of like, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that, like, they all were. And then last year we got into, she was getting into her knees a little bit, and we took the bell boots off and switched her over to knee boots. And then in Lexington, we pulled the shoes, pulled boots, pulled everything, and she just went like that. But
she raced barefoot
in Lexington. She raced barefoot in Lexington.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's cool. That's cool.
With no shoes, no boots. So,
and she did pretty well there too, didn't she, at the Red Mile?
She did all right over that track that day. But, I mean, that is an absolutely amazing track. Red clay tracks are
It is a beautiful
usually
place.
Usually just lightning fast.
That's such a cool track,
and
too. It's got so
got
much history. And she became, that's the one where she became the fastest trotter in history at that race?
Yes.
The barefoot?
Fastest mare, yes. Yes.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cool. Well, Sarah, congratulations on on this wonderful mare. And she's going to continue running in 2018?
We're going to give it our best shot.
Cool.
Lord willing.
Well, very good. Well, hopefully you'll see another Horse of the Year next year.
I hope so.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Congratulations.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been to the Red Mile, right, when you lived there?
Oh, absolutely. I always, when I would go to the Red Mile, I would always bet the 99-1. Because every once in a while, at least once a night, I would hit it.
If anybody going to Lexington, and I think the Red Mile is probably, if they're racing, okay? If they're racing when you go, I think the Red Mile is the most overlooked, cool thing to do in Lexington. Because it has an atmosphere. It's an old track. It has the history to it. They always have stuff going on. They've had times we've been there, they've had bands. And I mean, it's just a party. It really is more like a party. It's just so cool. It's one of the fondest memories I have when we went to Lexington 25 years ago, when we made our first trip to pilgrimage to Lexington. And God, things weren't like they were now. But yet, going to the Red Mile is one of the things I remember the most, is just because it was so cool. It was just different. And the track is old and it just has that feeling. It really is cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun to do. And if you haven't seen Standard Red Racing in person, you got to do that too, because it's so different. It's just so different. You have to check it out. Well, Lisa,
I swear every time they come around the home stretch, I'm like, why are they pulling back? Like, it looks like what they're laying back and pulling on the horse's reins. Apparently, that's not at all what they're doing.
Right. They're just trying to stay in the saddle of the seat. Because they're leaning back a good ways. I'd like to try that once. We've had an offer. Wendy and I have had an offer to go to a Standard Bred track and drive one around. So we're going to have to do that one of these days.
Do you know what? Precious Magic Olive Jennings would be more than happy to comply with you taking her around the neighborhood.
Yeah, I kind of don't think that'd be the same. Or maybe it would, depending on how trained she is by now.
Yeah, not very trained. So it'd probably be very similar.
Probably very similar. Is she a pacer or a trotter?
She is a trotter.
Okay, good. Thank God. Checking. Lisa Coulter was our spotlight reiner for the 2010 World Equestrian Games. We had her and her daughter on last year sometime. She's such a super nice Canadian. She is a reiner. She treats her horses really well. We just fell in love with Lisa when we were working with her for the 2010 games. And her daughter Clancy has become an artist and a singer. And her daughter Clancy wrote her first pop song and did her first video. And Lisa asked if we would play it on the show for her today. I think she's 16. So this is Clancy Coulter. I wish I knew what the name of the song was. It's R-L-Y-D-N-T-L-Y. Is that abbreviation for something?
R-L-Y-D-N-T-L-Y.
I don't know. I have to ask.
Reliantly.
Reliantly? Well, maybe we'll find out. We'll find out what the lyrics are, and maybe that'll tell us why the name is initials. So we'll be right back after you hear the premiere of Clancy Coulter's new song.
I'm caught in something shady, and you know you kept me waiting. Now I'm sitting here debating, where you at? Oh, you tell me this and that. Boy, you say you love me back, but it's time I checked your facts. I'm addicted, you're a kind of drug. You don't
before you took it all. You left and stole the spark. Now I'm standing in the dark. Can't figure out which way that I should go.
Well, that was Clancy Coulter. You can find that song also on Spotify. But now we have to hear, before we get to Equestrian First World Problems, we have to hear from one of our terrific sponsors, Epona.
Epona takes great pleasure in bringing you products that are healthy, sustainable, and a welcome addition to the provisions of your barn. The woodpicker hoof pick, for example. We ride through forests and across the green, through golden fields and crossings on rock and stream. My horse on good foot is paramount to me. Epona's woodpicker hoof pick is precise, you see. It's earthy and warm and so right in the hand, it whittles away rock, hard pack, and sand.
If you could hear the conversations that go on when you're playing things... In my house. Oh my God.
Lucas showed up?
Yep. Yep. And he's like,
was there any talk of
not
poop?
Wearing, no, well, close. He's not wearing any pants.
Oh.
And he walks in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, do you know why you're not wearing any pants? And he said, no. And I said, it's because you woke up in the middle of the night and peed on your floor in your bedroom.
Oops.
Like a dog.
Oops.
Yeah. And then he came, I didn't know he did that, but he, you know, he's been like the master of sleepwalking for his, since he was able to walk, he's sleepwalked. So he came into my room last night, like I think it was like 2, and I picked him up and I was like, oh my God, like he's soaking wet. What the heck? And so I take him into his room, I strip everything down into the bathroom and I'm like, oh, he peed in his pants. No, he didn't. He like peed on his floor because I noticed that when I walked into his room to take him back to his bed and I stepped in the giant puddle. So he comes in here without any pants on. I said, do you know why I have no pants on? He's like, no. And I said, it's because you peed on your floor. And he was like, oh, do you forgive me? I'm like, you're not getting off, Betty.
He's learning early, isn't he?
Do you forgive me?
Did he get that line from Chad? Chad
I'm
probably
sure
says
he
that
got,
a lot.
He got it from someone. Oh, really? Do you forgive me? No. I said, no, because you're going to help me clean it up this morning and you're going to help me mop that up because last night when it's time for him to go to bed, I'm like, you need to go pee. And he's like, I don't have to pee. And I'm like, you have to pee. Of course you have to pee. You have to pee before bed. No, I don't have to. It became like this screaming match. I'm like, fine. Now, mom is always right. I'm going to have you repeat after me. Mom is always right. Done. Gosh.
Is that your question, first world problem this morning?
Yes, this is my first world problem. I have a beautiful child in a lovely home with a very wet carpet. Okay, that's my first world problem.
First world problem is rip that carpet out, put in a hardwood floor. That's a...
Oh, we're going to have to do that. All right. We're going to move to your equestrian first world problems. And let me say, if you have an equestrian problem, yes, it is first world. And these are submitted by our auditors. Once a week, I go into our auditor's Facebook page and I say, oh, you guys, how hard is life? And they're like, oh, my God, it's like so hard. So we're going to start with Chantel. And Chantel has real problems because doesn't Chantel live in like North Dakota?
Or yeah,
like
she does.
Saskatchewan,
yeah,
or yeah. Antarctica, or something.
Yeah, they're like still under 12 feet of snow probably.
Yeah, yeah. She has a pony named Rosie. I want to put Rosie in a bigger pen, but the automatic waterers are still frozen.
Well, that's a real problem actually, I think.
Yeah, but it's still an automatic waterer. Like, why are they... Jessica says, I have to go get new fly bonnets for my horse to wear because his old ones don't match his new saddle pads. Jessica, that's a real problem.
That's a real problem. Yeah.
They have to match. I mean, serious. Who would walk out with like a blue saddle pad and a green fly bonnet? No one. Hello. Okay. Jessica also then chimes in. Also, that means the flies are now bad enough that we're having to ride in fly bonnets every day now, which means it's warm. She's in Florida, isn't she?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, we're wearing fly masks already here in Arizona. I get it, Jessica. Mary says, the places I scoped on Saturday for good footing to ride outside just got buried by a butt of snow on Sunday. But OMG, the bears are coming out of hibernation, so I can't even ride, and I have to carry bear spray. Where the hell do you live? Good God.
It's dangerous there.
Jeez, maybe she's in Alaska, for real. That's the only place I've ever had to carry bear spray. Huh. Casey, oh wait, Wyoming, I had to carry bear spray. She's in one of those places, I bet. Casey says, it finally dried up enough and I finally had enough time to ride and it snowed all afternoon. And then on Tuesday when I was at work in my tiny little office with one tiny little window, it's going to be 60. Ugh, God.
She should be thankful she has a tiny little window.
I mean, you're lucky. I when I worked in an office building, I had a tiny little cubicle, just saying.
Yeah, with no window. I didn't have a window.
No, you're living well. You're living well, sister. We're gonna spin the positive. I'm yes, noticing sir. That most of these first world problems are weather related.
It's funny when you live in the north how that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have had the never ending winter this year.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry for you guys while I'm in Arizona. Carly says, I seriously have to put more diesel engine fluid in my truck already? Oh my God, I did this like 3 weeks ago. Yeah, that sounds like a truck problem.
I got Jennifer. Jennifer, you want to tell us your first world problem?
Oh, I don't do them well, Jamie.
All right. Jennifer just wrote, my new horse trailer has so many doors that I have to walk the whole way around it twice before I drive off to make sure they're all latched properly.
Oh, my God. It's so hard. It sucks. It's exhausting. You have to, like, walk around your truck, your trailer twice. Like, it's exhausting. Carly also says, my husband keeps showing me more horses for sale, but like none of them are cute enough. What? Girl, I'm sorry. Kayla says, I wish my husband would show me horses for sale, but he won't. I think we got like a fight going on.
Yeah, I think we did too.
Krista says, I have 14.5 inches of space on my horse's back to fit an 18-inch saddle. Somebody needs a new horse.
Yeah.
Horse shopping. Carly's husband's looking for him. Maybe he'll find you one. Michaela says, the last of my horses are finally home, but now I have two more stalls to clean. I don't know where they were, but man. Avery says, the weather was supposed to be nice all weekend, so I spent all my time at the barn. But now I have to go to work tomorrow, and I don't have any clean underwear because I didn't do laundry because I was at the barn all weekend.
And we all know how well or how good horse girls are at doing the laundry.
Man, let me tell you, we are on point with the laundry.
Yeah.
You know, I actually was looking for my equipment. I got home Friday night from Flag Is Up Farms, and I was unpacking my suitcase this morning to put all my recording equipment.
Because you always unpack 3 days later. That's what horse girls do. Yes.
I wouldn't have even unpacked now if I didn't need my radio stuff.
You know, I bet you that Leslie unpacks immediately after trips and washes everything on a regular schedule.
Hey, guys.
That'd be a no.
I just have suitcases piled up.
Yeah. She still hasn't packed from, I don't know, wherever the hell she was last time. Just where they filmed the movie Frozen. What's that movie? What's that place called?
Oh, yeah. Norway. Filmed Frozen.
Yeah. Where they filmed it. Where they filmed it. Hello. let's see. Carrying on with these first world problems. Rachel says, if I play hockey first, I'm too tired to ride my horse. But if I ride my horse first, I'm too tired to play hockey. You live in Vegas. That is the biggest first world problem ever. Like, yeah. Oh, my God. It's like,
I think they just got the hockey team, too. I think they just got a hockey team.
That's awesome.
Because, you know, hockey is so popular in the middle of the desert at 120 degrees.
Believe it or not, people here go to hockey games, too. We have a hockey team. Lorraine says, I rode my horse in 61 yesterday, and now I wake up and there's snow on the ground. The struggle is real, people. Again, with the weather ones, you guys are all, y'all need to move. Just move. Nobody's making you stay there. Joy, my horse wants to be a jumper, and so I'm starting to browse new tack, but Matt... Oh, that's her fiance.
Fiance, yeah.
Says that I have to pick between a new saddle or alcohol at our wedding reception.
Okay, Leslie, we've picked on you for, you know, being a bit of a drinker at times. Which, if you had that choice, what would you pick?
What are the choices?
A new saddle or alcohol at your wedding reception?
A new saddle.
Duh. Hello, bring a flask, Dad. Mm-hmm. Jeez. Make them for like $4. You can get money. Ask me how I know. Cecilia says, I have to wait till Friday to get my new horse because I have family in town and my dad's wife rented this like beautiful beach house for everyone to stay in. And I'm like obligated to spend time with them, which I enjoy, but I want my horse to come in. New horses. Sorry, girl. Linda says, warm and sunny all weekend, and I had to work. And now, cold, snow, and icy today. The struggle is beyond real, and it's so damn annoying. Oh, my God. When are we going to ride our horses? We're, like, dying.
All right, time for one more.
Let's see. I don't know. There's
always so many of these.
So good. Oh, poor Ruth. This is for real. I am getting so stressed out because we're leaving for Paris next weekend and I still have things to do. Oh my God. How are you going to make it to Paris with all the things you have to do?
Struggle's real. Well, Leslie, welcome. Leslie, of course, is here once a week from Horse and Eventing Nation, the Nations. And Leslie, this is your weekend. This was your weekend because yesterday was April Fool's Day.
And I'm an idiot.
Yeah, you missed it completely. Idiot. You missed it completely.
I did not miss it, Glenn.
Oh.
Because I said to my husband, I go, oh, no. You are not going to freaking believe this. You know how we've been making fun of those people that do like hobby horse stuff and they jump with these like horses on a stick over stuff? And he's like, yeah, that's so stupid. I'm like, the USEF is recognizing that as a competition now. He's like,
you fell for
what?
It?
He's like, what Jamie. Are you talking about? I'm like, dude, the USEF. And I was like, well, good for them. If like people can't afford horses, like these first world problems are real. They're going to actually recognize these as shows. And then this morning I wake up, bam, I'm an idiot. It was a totally April 1st.
This is your weekend though, Leslie. You get more hits. I was looking at the counters. This must be your biggest weekend at both of those websites.
Yeah, I mean, April Fool's Day is probably the biggest internet holiday of them all, and this year was no exception for Horse Nation and Eventing Nation, and actually there were a lot of horsey pranks all around the internet, so but yeah, it just is constant. It blows my mind every year how willing people, how, I mean, people are just suckers. I'm no offense, Jamie. and not only will believe things, but they'll even share stories on their Facebook page that they clearly didn't even read all the way through, because at the end of the story, it says April Fool.
That's why we have fake news. That's exactly why we have a fake news problem.
It's not the news outlets. It's not Facebook's fault. It's these dang idiots who are sharing these stories, because let me tell you something. 23,000 people have read the FEI Tribunal unanimously votes to ban dogs from all future competitions.
But see, I was so hoping this one would be real. We had a huge conversation about this. It was probably one of the most conversated things on the auditor's page. There was there was 100 comments on there. And I had started it saying, I'm probably the only one that thinks dogs should be banned after all of the recent, you know, dog attacks. Over in England, especially. And I said, I think dogs should be banned from horse shows. And I knew I would not be popular with those comments. 75% of the people agreed with me. Yeah. I was shocked. But this one caused some stir, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. And it's people, you know, it was a range of reactions from this should be real to outrage, that thinking that it was real, to people like wink wink and on the joke and send it on. But this was one in years past we have actually failed to put a disclaimer on stories before, because we thought that it was that obvious that they were fake. And this one I was like, nope, this one's got to have a disclaimer on it, like for sure. Yeah, people went wild with that one. We had, we had a couple other, the hobby horse story. We had one about with the U.S. Eventing Association partnering with rabbit, you know, there's like a rabbit show jumping.
The American Hopping Association for Rabbits and Cavies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, my God. People show guinea pigs and jumping? I'm in.
Yep.
I'm in.
And let's see, Horse Nation had a big one too. This one's that they were moving the Preakness to
this was good.
Bellagio.
Bellagio Hotel.
Hotel in Las Vegas. They were taking out the fountains and putting in a half mile racetrack.
They had a picture of it and everything. It was so funny.
Yeah, that one went over.
But then you created a stir, because in the article it said, because the Preakness is kind of a dump now, pretty much as that's what it said, so that we're moving it to the classy Bellagio, and that caused a stir.
Let's see, and there were a bunch more all around.
Yeah, I only know yours. What were some of the others?
Let's see, Horse and Hound, the British magazine, announced that the public was being given the opportunity to design next year's badminton cross country course. That's seems like a bad idea. Let's see, there was a feed company, Blue Chip, that released a revolutionary new feed bouncer specifically tailored to the nutritional needs of unicorns. There was
you put some thought into that one.
A footing company called Equestrian Direct released a new arena footing called Glitter Ride that is a sparkly arena footing. It's designed, this is like the dressage people, they love their blink brow bands. This is next level sparkly arena surface designed to give a highly appealing iridescent visual appearance. I would love that. I think that I can actually see some like dressage divas with too much money on their hands and spending money on a glitteride arena footing. Let's see. What else we got?
Now, let me ask you while you're scrolling. How many days ahead of time do you plan these? Are you working on it for months, or are you like night before you're like, oh, what can I come up with now? I'm half wasted.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, it's gone both ways. This year it kind of snuck up on me. I always think I was more focused on Easter than I was about April Fool's. I was like, oh, they're on the same day. So we kind of threw the kitchen sink at it last minute. But there have been other years when I've I definitely have plotted things for months.
Right.
Because it is their most popular weekend of the year.
Yeah. let's see. The Chronicle of the Horse ran a story that Olympic eventer Boyd Martin had announced his retirement from the sport in order to focus on an even bigger challenge, training cats.
I'm looking. I'm sorry, Leslie. It's just real. I need a clarification before you go on. On this one with the world famous Bellagio story, it literally says in the title April Fools, and then it goes on to say the title, and then April Fools is the beginning of the article. Was that there on April 1st?
I don't think it was.
No, it was not. When I saw it, it was not. Yeah.
Okay. I think Kristen very smartly put that in retroactively so that people didn't go, you know, checking out Horse Nation on Monday morning and they don't get the joke. It's the wrong day. All the things.
Gotcha. So, smart.
Yeah.
See, we've never been allowed to do April Fools here on the show. Well, one, it usually falls on a day we're not on. But we've never been allowed to do it because Jamie absolutely hated doing those things when she was in Atlanta on April Fool's Day.
Oh, my God. Oh, it was the worst. On radio. People just get so unhappy and so angry. At least this, you don't have to have them screaming in your face. But in regular radio, it people can just call you and scream at you. So I was so happy when April 1st was on a Sunday because Glenn's always trying to do something.
Mm-hmm. She wouldn't let me.
Well, to recall, I did do a April Fool's joke for you guys. At one point, I said that we were there's a new podcast called Horses in Mourning, MOURING, the first live morning show for grieving equines.
And that showed up on my feed as a memory yesterday. And it was 4 years ago you did that. And you guys had put a whole new – you took the website and put a whole new banner on it. You did some work on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Why the long face? Lift your sad steed spirits with entertaining conversation, listener nay-ins, celebrity guests, carrot giveaways, and more. Today on – Horses in Mourning, Remembering Biscuit, sponsored by Horsetastic Headstones.
Sounds like it should be a show, actually.
Your new call-in number was 1-800-CRY-PONY.
Call that live. Right now.
Yeah, see who answers.
I was talking to you.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, you guys, congratulations again on another good round of April Fools. Well, and you're heading off this week for the test event. The eventing test event is at Tryon this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. So it should be a big old deal, and I can't wait to see what they've done with the place. Hopefully a lot since the last time the place is always spectacular, but you know, when you think it's a lot different to think about it's hosting an event versus hosting, you know, hundreds of horses at once and myriad disciplines and goodness knows how many people. So
yeah, you were on our WEG show we recorded on Friday. It'll be out today. And we have a local insider that lives within eyesight She lives right behind Tryon. So mm-hmm. she kind of hears all the gossip. And so that'll be on the Weg show this week, too. We get a gossip update from the locals, which is always better information than we get from anybody else, to be honest. So mm-hmm. she's got kind of an update on what's going on. And she said, you're still going to see a massive construction site when you get there. Everything's under construction. However, this is good news for us. She did say that the media center is being built and that it's three stories of steel at this point. So the steel is up. There's nothing else but the steel, but there is three stories of steel. So if nothing else, we can sit on a rafter and watch.
Oh, man. It's so crazy. It seems like they are cutting it a little close, right?
A little, but they're still promising. Now, she said that there's nothing but slabs. They have the concrete slabs poured for the three hotels that they're building in time for September. And she's still claiming they're going to put 1,000 rooms up by September.
No way.
They're getting them pre-made. They're coming in like mobile homes. They're getting them pre-made, and they're just going to stack them up. But don't you still have to do electric and plumbing and connect everything and make sure it's all working? And how long have you seen hotels being built? It takes years.
Yeah.
And they're going to put these up. All they have is concrete slabs at this point. And they're still
Sounds
claiming.
Like a Lego. Like, is like, are they building it out of Legos? Or
that's pretty much
what?
It. It's a Lego hotel. what could go wrong with that? Mm-hmm. So that's coming up too. Hey, Leslie. Hey, we promised on Friday that we would do these, and I want to hear you all jump in, Jennifer and Jamie and Leslie. We posted, or one of our auditors posted, what's the dumbest ways you've hurt yourself with your horse? And we got a lot of good answers, and we've all done some of these, I think. How about this one? The dumbest thing I ever did on a horse. I was galloping on my 14-2 horse when my ball cap flew off. I thought I could pick it up Indian style without getting off my horse. I just hooked a finger on it, and then I accidentally poked my horse with a spur. He jumped. I fell off in front of him. He clunked on my head on the way over. The only time I ever came off that horse in 31 years, I wear a helmet now. So, have you ever fallen off trying to pick up something off the ground? Or Mm-mm. not that dumb?
No.
Jamie?
Now, this is also because Leslie, like me, has always ridden these ginormous horses, and you would never think to
even
try to
try
lean
this.
Over. But now she's got Princess, so this could happen. This could be your future.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So just watch out for that.
Yep. How about this one? When I was a teenager, I was cantering on the side of the road. I had my head turned. Everybody's done this one riding. I had my head turned to talk to a friend I was riding with. And when I turned back, we were coming up on a telephone pole. The horse swerved enough for me to miss, but not my knee. A passerby had to drive me home so my parents could take me to the hospital. And a friend had to pony my horse back several miles. So have you ever taken your knee out on a tree or a pole?
Well, with Thor, if you guys remember right when I got,
I just
adopted Zeus. And the next day I was riding Thor and I was ponying Zeus and we were a couple miles from home and a truck was coming down the road. Big, big, big truck. So we move off to the side of the road and I was standing on somebody's driveway. And they had a gate, like a gated driveway, and there was a big metal fence, I guess, and a gate in front of the driveway leading to their house. And I didn't know that they had a dog that lived right behind it. And the dog, after hearing our hoof beats on the driveway, jumped up and like, rawr, 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 and they slammed into the gate. And Thor spooked. But it was just enough. He's barefoot and he spooked and he slipped and just went from standing up to laying down. Just boom, like that. His feet went out from underneath him. And so he landed on my left foot, crushing it completely. So I did have to get the truck that was coming by stopped, gave me a ride home, and all the girls had to pony not one, but two horses home because I had two on my own. So one had to pony Zeus, one had to pony Thor all the way home, and I had to get a ride home on the truck. And then Chad was like, let's take off your boot. I was like, don't take it off. They're going to have to cut it off.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
What's your worst one there, Leslie?
I mean, as far in the sort of leg extremities injuries. I mean, I've clunked my like my knees a ton, you know, going around trees and whatnot on fences. but yeah.
Have you broken
any broken bones?
Have you broken bones at all?
Anything?
I've broken fingers, toes, lots of concussions. I would say that's definitely.
That was definitely. What. That's the problem. Now we know. It's all those concussions. That's right.
Yep.
How about this one? Speaking of concussions, I love this one because we've all done this. Had the top window open on the trailer. It's an older steel horse trailer, and the windows swing out. Stood up way too fast. Smacked my head on the sharp corner of the steel door and promptly sliced my head open with such force it brought me to my knees. Bled like an SOB, called my mom, she's an RN. She said, hold a polo wrap to your head. She held the polo wrap to her head, drove to her house, and asked if she needs stitches. It was too thin for stitches in that area, but damn, it hurt and left a lumpy star. I took some Advil and went out for a ride.
Amen, sister. I think like if I'm thinking of the dumbest things I've ever done, the foot reminded me of it. I rode my horse Edward, who was 16 tooth thoroughbred, until I was 8 months pregnant, and I dismounted from Edward with a giant 8 month pregnant belly. And so you like have to kind of like shimmy down, and then like your hip is up against the horse and you slide down, and I landed on my left foot. And this freaking fatty myself broke my foot. This is pre-Thor breaking my foot.
Oh.
Broke my foot dismounting off the horse because I was so fat. My bones were like, no, we don't tolerate this kind of weight, especially dismounting from a horse this tall. And I remember getting off the horse and I was like, ooh, that hurt. That was the last time I'm going to ride this pregnancy. Thank you very much.
Have you guys ever used the like the dollies to move hay around or anything? I've had this happen. This one.
My fat self remind you of using a dolly?
Yes, actually,
to move
it did. So this one, she said she went to put a bale on the dolly, and the cart jumped up and smacked her in the face. I've had that happen with pitchforks and other things too, but carts are the one thing. Those dollies, if they're laying on the ground, you put it and it smacks up and comes right in your face.
Ow.
Yeah, she said it missed her teeth, but she had some broken face bones.
We talked about this one on Friday, but Leslie, I thought it was worth mentioning again. This good lady said that she forgot to let go of a flake of hay she was throwing for dinner and threw herself out of the hay loft. Not funny. It's sorry, not sorry.
Yes.
Wow.
One last one. She bent over to pick up her dog's ball and hit the bridge of her nose squarely on the corner of the table and broke her nose.
Ow.
This is happy Monday talk to get you all off to a wonderful week here on Horses in the Morning. Well, Leslie, thank you so much. Have fun at Try-On. We're going to be watching. You're going to be finding lots of pictures on Eventing Nation.
Yeah, for sure.
And you guys always do the course walk and take pictures of all the jumps, right? Because a lot of them will be included probably in a very different order. And this the fork, is it a 2-star or 3-star?
It's a 3-star.
So, and WEG is a 3-star, if I remember correctly. Or is that a 4-star?
I don't remember. It's a 4-star.
Olympics are 3-star. Mm-hmm. And I think WEG's 4-star. Okay. Right. I think that's how it goes. All right, Leslie. Well, we'll be looking at eventingnation.com for all your reporting.
All right.
And we'll hear all about it next week, okay?
For sure.
All right. Thanks, Leslie.
Bye, Leslie.
All right. Well, that's it. Well, that's all we have time for today. We hope that you go away a little more careful today after hearing everybody else's stupidity and that you're not so stupid.
I got to go clean up a big pee spot that was not done by a dog in the other room.
Are you sure it wasn't your dog? Maybe you're wrongly accusing your child.
I'm pretty positive. I'm
trying to help him out here, but
yeah, no.
No.
He does not need help.
All right. Well, you have fun with that. We have a full week of shows here for you, so we'll look forward to being with you here at 9 a.m. Eastern on Horses in the Morning. Of course, you can listen live on our app, iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network, and you'll find the app. It's free and easy to use. A little live button right there. I'm happy to report. I didn't have time to calculate all the numbers, but I'm happy to report that my quick look at the numbers for the first quarter, we set another record here on Horses in the Morning for listeners and downloads in the first quarter. And
yay,
March was equal to November, and November included Radiothon. So that's pretty big. So thank you to all our new listeners that are obviously joining us. Hang around, as we say, for a week. You'll get the hang of the show. You might stay or might not, but you have a better chance if you hang around for a week.
Listen, it doesn't matter. You have to put up with Glenn on most shows.
Yep.
So just get to know him and just get to like him.
If you don't like Jamie, then come on Tuesdays and Thursdays, because she's only here Monday, Wednesday.
If you don't like me, there's plenty of other shows.
That's right. We have 17 other shows, too. If you don't like either one of us, we have 17 other shows. There's probably something that you will like. So take care, everybody.
What's not to love, Glenn? Come on. Vaynergeld.